Mobile.
7J, KN4, VWA.
Hey, go ahead.
Hey, Bob, I had to run on in there. They've got me U-bolts at the AutoZone. Isn't that wonderful? Now I can go back and actually finish putting this fool thing together.
Well, good. Maybe I'll even stand it up today.
To engineer, I had a one-to-one Ballon, a choke, a current choke, for RF from the Wireman. And, man, that thing, it was pitiful. So, anyhow, I took it back off of there, and I was using it in place of a 6-inch radius, 8-turn coax, which is what Cushcraft recommended. So, I'm going to go back, and I'm going to put the 8 turns of coax in the 6-inch radius and put that back up there like they recommended to begin with.
I ordered my Ballon from Force 12. Yeah, I didn't want to order that Ballon that they have over there at Wireman or whatever. I ordered mine from Force 12, and actually it worked out pretty good. I had to get two of them, one for the 30-meter, one for the 40-meter. And it worked out pretty good because those Ballons are, they kind of look like about a foot and a half piece of PVC, three-quarter inch PVC. They're pretty nice. They're a little pricey, but they're very nice, and they're a very good Ballon.
Coming down out of that Wireman unit was like 26 gauge solid conductor. I mean, I bent the end of it twice trying to get the stick Ballon into position, and it snapped right off.
I don't subscribe to that stuff. I just went right to Force 12 and got what I needed.
Well, being a greenie, I have fallen victim to that junk, but not anymore.
Yeah, that's just a fact of life. And then eventually you'll kind of just start to ask some other folks, where do I get the right kind of stuff? But that's a common mistake, and I don't think that was a real expensive one. So, lesson learned. That's all.
Oh yeah. But yeah, the way I've got that winch set up. It didn't even slow down on the startup, man. It just grabbed that jewel and took it right up.
I'm not absolutely surprised about that. My smaller winch pulled my tower and the log periodic with a lighter rotator and a lighter mast and everything up with no problem at all. It was only after I added the Yaesu 2800 rotator and a piece of Schedule 80 quarter-inch mast and the log periodic and another beam that I started to have problems with.
And getting it started up off the ground with that kind of weight, what do you figure you've got up there, 200 pounds?
I think the log periodic weighs probably close. I think there's more than 200 up there. The log periodic weighs probably close to 75 or 80. It's been a while since I looked this stuff up, but the log probably weighs 70 or 80. I don't know how much a Yaesu 2800 weighs. The Schedule 80 mast is very heavy. And I mean, it's like, I can't even remember now, 16 feet, maybe 15 feet, something like that, from the sits on the bottom of the rotator all the way to the top. It's probably 16 feet. And then the Force 12, which is a pretty monstrous beam. There's at least 200 there. I'm betting more, but at least 200.
Well, and so you're up at 60 feet on the tower, right? And then you've got, another 10 feet out in the mast?
Yeah, more than that. Probably more like, I think there's probably, I can't remember. I know that I bought 20 foot of Schedule 80. And I think I've got about a 6-foot piece, maybe a 5-foot piece sitting down there. So there's quite a bit. And the top of the mast is actually a foot or so above the top beam. But there's quite a bit. I know that. There's a whole lot. It's a long mast, and it's very heavy.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that 3500 wouldn't pick that up at all because the startup on the fulcrum, even though you're up on the top of that pole, so your initial lift from down low, man, that's a lot of torque to get it started up. I mean, once you get it past, say, 30, 35 degrees, it probably did just fine, but not on the initial startup from that fulcrum point. So, but anyhow, mine, it just snatched it right up there. I mean, I was just thrilled to death.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that it went up there. I suspect down the road, if you had some more beams or something up there, you may have to do a little bit of something different. But you know, mine, the first time I put mine up, it went right up. It went, you know, it took 30 seconds and it was standing up. But after I started adding more beams, and I mean, the Yaesu 2800 rotator is a big rotator. I forget how much that weighs. I don't, you know, when I calculated all this stuff out, it's been 3 or 4 years now.
Yep. Well, anyhow, there was something else I did also. Now, I put dog ear tabs. See, my pivot point is about, oh, I would say 14, 16 inches back behind the tower. And what that did was also kind of gave it sort of a pitch over. Once you get up near vertical, it gives it kind of a pitch over. So I've got just a little 750-pound test rope, and it requires almost no force. I can let it from about, 10 degrees the rest of the way to the vertical by hand without even, you know, just letting it ride down just gentle.
That's, and I'm guessing the winch you have is got a braking system on it, so as you're coming down, it's got a brake on it.
Oh, yeah, the instant, as long as you have the drive engaged, the instant that you release the remote control, it's got a posi lock on it where I don't know that you could let any more cable out. It's got a pin engage so that the gearing inside cannot turn. So, yeah, that portion of it, I don't worry about at all. The only thing I would be concerned about in the far distant future would be possibly my two-point connection with the aircraft cable. What I did was up my tower's about 45 or 50, and I went up 15 and put an aircraft cable connection there and a long loop and connected it up top of it at 30, and then put a pulley in there, you know, a clevis pulley, so I could attach the winch to that. So, you know, that may come loose someday, but even the way I did it, I'm not sure that would come loose.
Thing, that's, I've got the exact same setup on mine. That way, when you're pulling it, you're actually pulling on at the 30-foot point at first, and the top of the tower is kind of hanging at the 45-foot, and then as it goes up and the pulley moves, then you're actually pulling at 2 points on the tower.
Yeah, weight distribution to 2 points instead of pulling on 1 point. Yeah, that was important to me, because this tower, even though it's a freestanding, I wouldn't want to jerk the center section out of it with the winch.
On the end of that tower, if you don't have that 2 points, you have weight at the end of that tower, and whatever the weight is, you know, you got your rotator, your mast, your antenna hanging off that tower. It's putting some stresses on that tower. Not, in your case, probably not enough to bend the tower. But in my case, it certainly could have.
Oh, I remember seeing the video of Dave getting out of the way.
Nothing to do with it. Actually, if I had my brain about me that day, Dave should have had a rope. He had a rope where he was standing, but he should have been on the other side of the pool, just keeping that rope taut. Because the way my tower is, it's on a little bit of a hill there, and it wants to swing. That's what, the tower wasn't coming down. It was wanting to swing to the right. That's what happens. That's why when I raise and lower that tower, I have to have somebody on a rope on the other side of the pool, just pulling it very ever so slightly, just keeping it straight so that it doesn't want to take a turn, take a swing. It actually wants to swing a little bit because of where it's sitting. So you have to have somebody on the other side. And I don't know why Dave chose to stand there that day, but we should have had him on the other side of the pool, which is the way I've done it every other time and never had a problem. So that was just a, that was a brain error.
Art and not the science. I tell you what, if you're doing something like this and you've never done it before, it is a learning curve.
Well, did you ever get the antenna tuned?
Well, I talked to Cushcraft, and I don't know if I believe him or not, and I had W4DJW over here, and we used my Rig Expert 55 Zoom, and it tuned up perfectly good according to what they said I could do. Now, they said that if I used a dielectric, you know, a non-conducting bench, that I could lay it out on a bench and tune it right there. So that's what we did, and it tuned up beautifully. So, and Dave was saying that, you know, once you get it up in the air, it's going to be even better. But I had less than 3 on 40, and everything else was 2 or less. And in the 15 and 10 was just below 2.
Really acceptable, and it should get better as it gets higher off the ground. It should improve somewhat. I always like to just take a piece of 8-foot galvanized fence pipe, and or even a 10-foot, and just dig a hole and stick it in the ground. And in your case, that big dipole, it's not heavy. Put your antenna on there, stand it up, and just stick it in the ground so you're about 8 foot off the ground, and tune it there. And you know, see what you're at, bring it back down, get it tuned 8 foot off the ground. And if you get it, you know, like you've done, or closer, you should be fine. I would hope that it would be somewhere in the 1.2 to 1.7 or 8 across all of the bands when you get it up there in the air. I would think that antenna would be capable of being tuned closer than 3 and 2, but that's certainly all within the realm of doable.
Well, like Dave was telling me, he says, once I get it up there in the air, that 3 has probably come right down to about a 2. So a 2 or less, I'm happy.
Yeah, when I had, first time I put my log periodic up, I had it leaning on that support, and we put the analyzer on it, and I was 1.8 was the highest I was anywhere on any band, and when it got up, it pretty much all leveled off to 1.2, 1.3, 1.4. I think I might have a 1.6 somewhere on 12 or 15 or something, but it's all pretty low.
Wow, that's great. All right, well, listen, I've just detonated, and I've got two-inch clamps, U-bolts, just burning a hole in my pocket here, and I'm going to go over here and see if I can't get this jewel moving. So you're going to have to come by and see my conglomeration sometime, bud. Next time you're down this way, give me a holler. As a matter of fact, N4MMW, I know you know Jimmy, don't you?
I don't think so. It's possible. Next time I'm going to be down anywhere in that direction is going to be, I'm looking real quickly here, for the SCDXA meeting February 20th.
Well, give us a holler. And matter of fact, I'll get W4NGU to contact you, because I don't know that I've got your info, but I'll get him to get in touch with you, and maybe we can hook up. You can swing by here on your way down to the meeting. As a matter of fact, I went to that last SCDXA meeting at Mythos, and it was quite interesting. I think I'm going to get in there in with those guys. I'm going to try to see if I can't learn a little something.
Well, I don't know if you went to the casual get-together. We'll have some kind of a presentation at the, we're only doing 4 what they call official meetings, not that it matters one way or another, because it doesn't. It's nice to see everybody get together. we'll have some kind of a presentation. Probably be some more members there, I would hope. And all my info, email, contact info, just go to my website. It's all on there, phone number, everything, nd7j.com. And everything's there. You can get a hold of me anytime you need. I'll let you get in the house and play with your new toys. And holler at me if you get it up in the air. You know, even if you get the antenna put on the tower and you get the coax run, you can check your SWR, see what it is, and you can even try and transmit a little bit, even if it's not standing up.
Yeah, hey, let me verify something with you real quick. If I go ahead and get the antenna up, and I get it up there, and I'm satisfied with my SWR on my Rig Expert, and I hook it all up, I'm just not ready to do anything with my amplifier yet, because I haven't read the instructions close enough yet. It's an 811H. I can just go ahead and bypass the amplifier and run 100 watt for right now and use the tuner out of my radio, can I? Because it'll tune. I've got a Yaesu 991A, and it'll tune from 3 down. So I should be able to use that just straight out, shouldn't I?
Yep. Well, what I recommend you do, and it's a good habit to get into, is turn your power down to about 10 or 15 watts, 20 watts, and stick your radio in ready mode and, you know, tune it. Hit your tuner button and let it tune. And check your SWR and your radio or on wherever you have, wherever you can, probably on your radio. As long as it looks good, go ahead and bump your power up to, you know, 40 or 50 watts, retune it, and then bump it up to 70 or 80 and retune it, and then go full power and retune it. It's not a must, but it's a good idea. A lot of receivers will automatically dial down when you hit your tuner button down to 15 or 20 watts as a safety. But you can put your radio into ready mode, and you can tune it that way slowly. Same thing with your when you put your amplifier into the mix. And answer to your question, yes. Same thing when you put your amplifier in the mix. If you have, what kind of tuner are you using to tune with your amp?
I just picked up an LDG AT1000 Pro 2.
Is that an auto tuner?
Yes, sir.
So read the directions real well. I am in the habit of, when I tune, I used to be when I had a tube amp, I was always in the habit of starting very low, you know, put my radio down to 10 or 15 watts, tune with the amplifier so you're, you know, putting out 100, 110 watts, very slowly bring it up to speed, so to speak, just to be a little cautious. Some people don't do that. I think it's a good idea. Once you get to a point where you know your equipment and your auto tuner has got the memories in it programmed, that's a little bit less important. But in the beginning, till you get everything, and you can make yourself a little chart if you need to, but with the auto tuner, you shouldn't have to. But I always like to start low and go slow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and $1,100 doesn't come easy for me, so I'm going to take real good care of this thing.
Yeah, and if you get to a point today that you're going to actually transmit or try to even just be, see if you can hear, if you give me a call on the phone, I'll get on 40 meters and I'll turn my beam down towards you, and I'll transmit down there to you and see if you can hear me. And if you want to transmit, we can give it a little test. We can give it a little test if you'd like. I'll be around all day.
Now, that sounds like a winner, but I've got a little bit of work to do. It's probably going to take me 2 or 3 hours to get this thing the way that I, you know, mechanically. See, I've got the top of that tower to where I've got to engineer the loops to where the bottom loop comes out so that I can have enough slack for rotation and clearing the three corners on the top of the tower. I got to satisfy myself there mechanically before I'm going to really go forward. So if I can get that done, I'll definitely give you a call.
I'll be around. I'm making spaghetti and lasagna today, so I'll be around. Good luck with it. Holler if you need something. We'll let you get at it. ND7J.
Wait a minute. What time's the spaghetti?
Probably about 6.
I'll be there. Have a good evening, big guy. I'll give you a holler if I can get it done. ND7J, KN4, VWA, clear.
73.